Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 if you want to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 if you want to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, is crime and violence running people out of the big cities? Are LGBTQ advocates hijacking the civil rights movement? Is crime and violence the catalyst for relocation of businesses and families? Are LGBTQ advocates hijacking the black civil rights movement to perpetuate the LGBTQ agenda? Those are the questions. Not sure if I'm able to answer all of that, but we're going to talk about it as we normally do on this show, right? Starting off with this whole thing about the crime and the violence. Well, I must say, if I had the financial capability to move comfortably, I would move out of, away from the war zone. Ground Zero is no place to raise a child, and it is definitely a place to experience trauma and grief. As I have said previously, there is no excuse for this nightmare. Reasons, but no excuses. As companies move out of urban areas, I suspect the crime will increase. Companies meaning jobs, opportunities, and things like that. So resources, don't know. Anyway, from the Daily Mail, they said, they talk about fleeing the scene of a crime. That's the way they describe it. So that's a bleak view of what's going on. They said 20% of home buyers in democratically led New York, L.A., and San Francisco are looking to uproot to different cities to escape violence and the recession, right? A study showed that, right? So they said more than 20% home buyer are looking to flee San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York amid a rise in violent crime and high cost of living. Now, I'm thinking that that's going on all over the United States, right? They say about 9,072 home buyers in San Francisco, which is plagued by vagrancy and open drug use, right, are looking to settle in Sacramento and Seattle, trying to get out of there. So, oh, we got a lot of homeless people and a lot of drug use. Time to skedaddle, right? In L.A., they say robberies are up nearly 14%. 6,720 home buyers hope to move to San Diego and Las Vegas, where our homes are also cheaper. About 6,372 home buyers in New York, where violent crime is up more than 30%, are looking to move to Miami. I thought they had a lot of crime in Miami. Violent crime at that, you know. But you're trying to tell me they're saying they'd rather move to Miami than stay in New York. I should have looked that up. Anyway, Sacramento, where homes typically go for $560,000, has seen an 87,000 new homeowners move in this quarter. I don't know if that may be 8,700 is an extra zero. It might be a typo. I don't know. It's either 87,000 or 8,700. Basically, it's an influx of people moving in to this area where the homes are very expensive. So who's doing, who's that? And a guy that has that kind of money, why does he have to move from where he lives? Seems like that area, where he would already be in a relatively safe area. Anyway, I can't blame them for moving, sir. I can't. And I know that I heard this thing about how people need to stay in the community once they earn the money and help the community out. But self-preservation, law of nature, that's what you're going to do. You know, you can't do nothing if you don't preserve yourself. And so these people, you know, they're going to preserve themselves. That's what it seems like to me. And they might have been preserving themselves from the beginning. I don't know. But now they're going to do it even more by leaving. Right? And they won't be contributing economically to the area, the political, social, political arena. Right? So this from lib.fbi.gov, right? They said, while the aggregate estimate violent crime volume for the nation decreased 1%, that's not much. 1% of 1% decrease is almost like the next to that is none. So that's not much. Right? They say it had a 1% decrease from 1,326,600 in 2020 to 1,313,200 in 2021. The estimated number of murders increased 4.3% from 22,000 in 2020 to 22,900 in 2021. Those are war numbers, war casualty numbers. Just so you know, I know people, you know, I know that's, those are greater than some of the wars we had recently, currently, where guys are trained to kill. Anybody has a weapon of mass destruction, and this is us at peacetime, so-called peacetime. So maybe we can't even call it peacetime if we got those kind of murders occurring. Because I would hope that peace would be representative of how people living and preserving life are having these increased homicides, right? Anyway, from the cityjournal.org, talking about violent crime in cities on the rise, right? So I don't know. Seems like they've been on the rise since my whole lifetime. That's all it's ever been doing. But they say it's on the rise, so I guess that's relevant. They're talking about the time at which point they wrote this article, right? So I say New York, the NCVS involves about 250,000 interviews each year with nationally representative sample of the U.S. residents. They take some of everybody, right? What they to see to be everybody, right? And the federal government field agents ask questions whether they were the victim of a crime within the past 6 months. So here's what they came up with, right? According to them, violent crime in the urban area rose 29% from 2020 to 2021, from 19.0 to 24.5 victimizations per 1,000 persons aged 12 or older. From 2018 to 2020, they found that violent crime rate in urban areas was between 29% and 42% higher than the rate in the rural areas. That means the city was 29 to 42% higher than what we call suburbs, right? Outside of the city areas, right? In 2021, however, violent crime rate in urban areas was 121% higher. In 2021, right? Violent crime rate in urban areas was 121% higher, more than doubling the rate in rural areas, 24.5%. Victimizations in urban areas versus 11.1 in rural areas per 100 persons, right? In addition, violent crime rate in urban areas was 48% higher in 2021 than the suburban areas, right? Tripling any difference in urban and suburban rates registered from 2018 to 2020. Tripling. All right. So property crime rate in urban areas, which was nearly twice as high in 2021 as in the suburban areas, 157.5 to 86.8 victimization per 1,000 households, right? Three times as high as in the rural areas, 157.5 to 57.7 victimizations per 1,000 households. Needless to say, something is wrong with this picture. Right? From NBCChicago.com. They're talking about large companies leaving Chicago, and some are citing crime as the reason. It's large companies. I don't know if y'all know about, what's the guy named NB Duck? He got gunned down on the street, like he got gunned down in broad daylight on a street in Chicago, in a section of the city down in downtown section of Chicago, where I guess a gunfight is unheard of. It's where the affluent go, right? Because he's like a rapper dude, right? Gangbanger rapper. I don't know if he's gangbanger rapper, ex-gangbanger rapper, something like that. He had his own gun on him, didn't work for some reason. I think his clip was not the authentic clip for the gun. Anyway, he's murdered, right? In broad daylight, right? Going to the store, coming out of the store or something. And using that as an example of how the violence has no boundaries. You know, normally you used to go to a place, certain places, and you don't have to worry about even seeing that kind of stuff, potentially being after. But now it seems like these people have no sense of boundaries. There's like almost nothing that they won't do to kill somebody. Anyway, I just mentioned that because they're talking about Chicago right here, and that's an excellent example of why people might move their business. They cited growing crime in the city as one of the primary reasons, right? Large companies have announced that they're moving their headquarters out of the Chicago area. And you know, Chicago is off the hook, right? Been that way for years. From cityjournal.org, Starbucks has announced that it is closing many stores over crime concerns. Starbucks, all right? So that means dwindling opportunities to buy basic necessities for people's family, right? Because you got that employment going, right? And hopefully the people impacted upon financially do not turn to crime as a way of meeting their basic needs. And you know, sometimes people do that, right? Depending on what type of criminal activity you're in, it increases the risk of you being murdered or you murdering someone else, right? That's how that contributes to the murder rate. And that's just Starbucks, all right? That's assuming, in the black community that people are a certain percentage of people are being employed by Starbucks, but it only takes one to contribute to the crime rate, right? One person can contribute multiple times, right, to the violent crime rate. All it takes is one, right? So from crimeinamerica.net, they say people and businesses leaving cities because of disturbances and crime. So
They said several major cities are seeing an exodus of residents amid the COVID-19 pandemic and recent spikes in
violent crime.
Right? They said the coronavirus, seven of the top 10 priciest rental markets saw apartment prices drop an average of 5% over the same time last year. Businesses have had to shut down their doors, leaving empty shop fronts and offices for sale in once bustling downtown areas, right? Now, a recent study by Arzarite Consulting, a data research firm, found that 54% of companies in major downtown areas like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco are considering or planning to move out of the city. All right? So that's a lot of tax dollars, if they're paying tax dollars, much of it. That's money coming out of the economy, right? A June survey by Finance Buzz found that in a poll, close to 30% of people said they would move out of densely populated area after the pandemic was over. Because that scared everybody, right? Oh, I want to be around people. You breathing around me. And God forbid somebody sneezes or coughs, right? Clear their sore throat, anything like that, right? So even before the pandemic, there was a steady migration away from the cities. Because before the pandemic, there was always violence, right? That's where I'm looking at that, right? Anyway, the coronavirus is not the only reason some major cities are seeing an exodus, they say, right? All cities mentioned have out-of-control crime, social unrest, and lawlessness. All cities also face fiscal crisis before the pandemic, so they were hurting financially already, right? And with billions of lost revenue and increased demand for services, the conditions have only worsened. Major cities today are facing a wake-up call, he said. Beyond COVID, people who appear to be leaving the city over growing incidents of crime. Fifth Avenue has been boarded up for weeks following mass demonstrations, including some that devolved into riots, right? That's the George Floyd thing, right? So, and armed guards watch over storefront and razor wire protecting upscale stores. So they got ready for a war to protect these stores from the rioters, right? I get it. As of July, homicides in New York City were up 29% compared to the same last year. Burglaries have increased by 43%, and shooting victims have increased 85%, according to the New York City Police Department. There have been several reports of New York mothers citing rising crime and recent riots as the final straw in their decision to move their families out of the city. Violent crime and fear increases. Violent crime is up 28% since 2015, says the Department of Justice. Violent crime has tripled. 77% say they are concerned that crime is rising in the nation's cities. Right? Post-lockdown homicides were up 37%, aggravated assaults rose 35%, and robberies increased by 27%, a survey by the University of Missouri. Cities have been especially hit hard by protests, riots, COVID-19, and challenges to law enforcement. Tax revenues have fallen, right? Assuming that these businesses being open, they generate a cycle of consumerism, which creates wealth and things like that for some people, and just eats the pockets out of others if you're just throwing your money in the bond, what you see in the window. Anyway, but what the business is creating a lot of wealth, right? So, and the tax dollars are help with the community, supposedly help contribute to those communities in which those businesses operate. We can, that probably take about a whole month of shows just to even talk about that system, if it's working, doing what they say it's supposed to be doing, right? Because, you know, I'm going to keep moving, because that's another topic right there. Cities have been especially hit hard by the protests, right? Riots, COVID-19, and the challenges to law enforcement. Tax revenues have fallen, not in a fiscal position to deal with increased crime. So they need more money to deal with the crime, right? So that defunding the police thing is like not a good idea. You see, I don't know. Selecting police officers, I think, is the beginning of changing how police interact with people on the street. Because if you just keep the same regimen that they been had, the old boy routine, you know, they're just going to convert the new recruits. Anyway, they said numerous media reports state that people are leaving cities because of COVID and crime, right? So I don't know where they're going for the COVID, because the COVID is going to chase you wherever you go, right? You never know where it is, right? You can't see it, can't smell it. Somebody sneezes, you don't know if it's COVID or one of the other 100,000 of things you could catch. So, but fear will get a lot of people moving, you know, especially if you got the dough to move. Fear will help you change your mind and get you in places you might not have dreamed you was going, but now you are, because you got the dough and you're running from something that you fear. So they said it's highly likely that people will start moving out of the big cities. Watching the footage of the aftermath of the carnage created in Minneapolis. That's the George Floyd thing, right? They said companies will consider relocating their office buildings into the suburbs. It will be seen as too dangerous to remain. That's what Forbes said. So after that George Floyd thing, so it looks like the George Floyd thing, a lot of lessons learned from that event. I don't know if the police learned a lesson from that, because they continue to do, some police officers continue to do some of the most foolish, egregious acts to people, even after the George Floyd incident. So I don't know what's going on, but any kind of intervention that they're doing is not seeming to be working. Or it could have saved a lot of people's lives if these guys were under the had the mindset of we don't do that. Police officer does. As you see, we had 5 black police officers just murder a black man, basically for nothing. I think it was the 6 a white officer there too. So I don't know why he wasn't included in that. But that was 6 guys, 6 gang members. Everybody would have been included. I don't understand that, but we're gonna keep going. That's another show too. People can't flee these U.S. cities fast enough, they say. It's the title of a recent article from MoneyWise that mostly focuses on crime, not COVID, right? They're saying it, MoneyWise is saying they're trying to get away from this crime. And I don't blame them. Because police cannot stop crime. I know people talking about what the police going to do. Well, it was a show. I think Tom Cruise, they had these 3 beings that they could see crimes before they happened, and they went to arrest people before they committed the crime. Now, police can't do that. Police only come after crimes are committed. Hopefully, they'd be able to intervene without killing somebody themselves you know, when somebody calls them and they have some kind of dispute that may turn violent, stuff like that. But basically, police can't stop. They don't know when somebody's going to murder somebody. That's like, even the person that's going to murder somebody sometimes doesn't know that they're going to murder somebody. They don't wake up all the time saying, I'm going to murder this person. It happens in the act of living your life. You know what I'm saying? So if you carry a gun and you present it with a particular situation that requires that you defend your life or the life of someone else, you're going to end up murdering somebody, right? So if you have a shootout and your bullet hit somebody who's not involved in it, you're going to end up murdering somebody, right? Police officer, or license, or person to carry, or whatever. So it's just, you know, unfortunate that we are in this situation with all of these homicides, right? Crimes committed over the past several days have been unheard of a year ago in the quiet neighborhood that's home to Lincoln Center and restaurant. They're saying this thing is spreading to neighborhoods where they didn't have this situation. So, as I said, these criminals of today have no boundaries. You know what I'm saying? They don't go to a different type of community and say, oh, this is a different place. I need to calm down around here. I don't need to, you know, worry about killing nobody around here. And, you know, I'm gonna, just enjoy the fact that I'm in an area that people are not even used to hearing gunshots. So these guys come and they light the area, the community up, leave a body on the ground. Somebody, you know, shot 10 times or something, and they don't care. So not that you should do that in the hood either. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, areas that haven't been exposed to this type of violence are being, as this guy said, are being touched, right? A 40-year-old woman was randomly stabbed in the 72nd Street subway station one day. A 56-year-old man was sucker punched while dining outdoors with his wife. What kind of nonsense is that? You just punch a man in the face. Suppose he had a gun and just lit the kid up that punched him in the face. Or the person. I don't even know what kid. I don't know why I said this kid. It seemed like some kid stuff. I don't, you know. Anyway, Wednesday night, photos were posted online of a man masturbating on the steps of the New York Historical Society. So, what's going on here? Onlookers witnessed an apparent overdose in the aisle of a Duane Reed across the street from the Lucerne Hotel. There's data as to moving companies in New York being booked solid, right? They say moving companies, the people you hire to move your stuff, book solid in New York. It's like even if you are trying to move, you're gonna be hard pressed to find a moving company to move your stuff. That's how people are moving out of New York. They said, but I don't know. I guess they do a lot of moving in New York though, a lot of places to go and things like that. But they I guess he's implying that people are getting out of New York. Hard pressed to find somebody. Then there's the question from the New York Times whether New York is worthy, is worth it, particularly based on the crime. Is it worth staying in New York, staying in around all this crime, subjecting you, your family, your wife, your kids to this crime, whether it touches you individually or not? It's around you and you're a potential victim, and I'm not going to leave this out because you could be a potential person who murders someone, right? will kill someone, right, in protection of your family. Family, you don't want your wife to have to kill nobody. You know, you don't want that to have to happen. Your kid had to kill somebody because the kid's trying to, you know, put his head in the, to the street, stomp his brains out and all that kind of nonsense. They said, the Minneapolis Star Tribune writes, exhausted cities and crime. And we'll just article about that. We ain't going to go into the whole article. It's just the fact that this thing is all over the United States, right? Another great migration is underway. Black Americans are leaving big cities for the suburbs. Black Americans are leaving big cities for the suburbs. Black folks running, getting the hell up out of here. Now, last time they had an exodus, they was trying to get away from the Ku Klux Klan in the South. They came north for the job. So two things, the racism in the South, overt, superly overt, and the economic reasons came up here to get those jobs, right? Not that it was much better up here, but it was a little better than it was down South, right? One, they could get those jobs, but they was hiring them. Two, this is South. This is they're a little more overt with their racism. Three major shocks now threaten to upend the urban renaissance. Like, you know, I don't know if people see a lot of building in the cities and a lot of hoods turning, getting a little lighter. I should say that. Is that okay? Too late. I said it. It's getting a little lighter. You see more white people moving to the hood. In Philly, you got like one of the four or five colleges and stuff like that. You see college students residing in on the hood part. Like, you know what I'm saying? Do you hear on the news people robbing them and doing all kinds of stuff to them? Do you hear college students doing all kinds of craziness, turning a man car over and all this stuff? You know, then we had a guy from the suburbs come into Philly, shoot a cop, temple cop, that was trying to get him not to carjack somebody because he had a gun. He could have came at him with his blasting, really, but he didn't. He killed a man that was just trying to do his job and was not trying to harm anybody. Shot him in the head after he fell on the ground. He continued to shoot this man, you know. So we got that kind of stuff going on. It's not neither. It's just folks going off, right? Because it was a young white dude, 18-year-old, doing did this to this brother. So he could have came at him to kill him, and if he did, he probably would have still be alive. Anyway, the coronavirus is preying on the, they say, density-packed places. Anger over policing is producing social unrest, right? George Floyd, the thing in Philadelphia where they shot the man, what, 17 times, the crazy guy? I mean, the mentally challenged brother. Just all kinds of stuff going on, you know. Continued, you know, which... It's, I mean, if you look simply at it, you know, the things that people, if you are afraid, so fearful that you're going to kill somebody, you shouldn't even have a gun. You shouldn't own one. You shouldn't want to carry one, anything, because you are not the kind of person that should have that kind of power on your hip, in your bag, or whatever you carry that, in your waistband, under your arm, whatever. You can't have these cowardly, fearfully people running around with these guns. I don't care what their job is. Being a police officer is a job. That's not just, are you going to hire me to move this box from here to there? That's not that. That's a very, very special job. And it's not just about being physical. Even though it might get physical. I get it. It's a scary job, especially now. It's most definitely scary now, right? Because they will pop a police officer. Also, you can get popped. So you gotta be on guard. You gotta be make on good decisions. Hopefully you got a relationship with people in the community. Now start with them young boys. So when you do have an interaction with them, they know you. Maybe you don't get popped. You know what I'm saying? I said, but if you don't want to interact with the community, you come in, you are an opposing force. Doesn't matter if they're committing crime or not. They don't know you. You're the enemy. And they don't have any connection to you. That makes it easier for them to kill you. So start interacting with the communities you provide service for. You might be able to talk somebody down for real. You might be able to just stop something with your presence. But keep your gun on your side, right? Because you never know. Anyway. This guy, the author went on to say, he lives in a community in the Appalachians, right? Where house sales have been stagnant since the recession, and nice homes sit on the market for years. And then, boom, houses here are selling like hotcakes. So he lives in a place where nobody wants to go, but all of a sudden, everybody's, the houses are selling like hotcakes because they're trying to get away from these big cities, right? A friend house wasn't up for sale, but they mentioned it to an agent, and they had three offers to buy the house. Buyer reports suggest people are leaving cities principally because of crime, riots, and COVID-19. I don't understand they're leaving because of COVID-19. I guess because of overcrowdedness, density, more COVID and stuff like that, I guess. All right. So, okay. They said, years of lack of data, but when the Wall Street Journal and New York Times both cite crime as a reason for people are moving, there's something to it. Protests, riots, looting, and defunding the police are scaring the Hades out of people. See, they see a world that is no longer in their control. Firearm sales are setting records. Security products are exploding. People are moving to ensure the safety of their families. Be concerned about the things that create poverty. See, this is a half concern kind of like thing. You have to be concerned with the systems, right? Interest groups, companies, policies, laws that create poverty, that contribute to the reasons why people are acting out such a way. It's like same thing about these guns. People in the hood don't make guns. They don't make dope. But it shows a lot of both of them in the neighborhood, right, in the hood. So be concerned about that, what's causing that. Why are people put in a position where they are making these type of decisions? And note that all people don't make that decision. All people not interested in all committing crimes in order to come up, in order to get the latest sneaker or to be cool or whatever, things like that. And that's another show, actually. So, is it a sign of the times, the beginning of the end of the world as we know it or think that we know it? I just took this from What Christians Want to Know. Somebody said, I do believe that we are seeing a worldwide increase in violence, and that increase in violence was part of the end of time scenario. So today, as violence increases, particularly against Christians, it will get much worse before it gets better, and it will only get better when, it says, Christ physically returns to judge the world in righteousness. So, I'm not trying to preach anybody. I thought that was an interesting view, and if you believe you're a Christian, you believe that. That's the view for the Christian. All right? So things get better once Christ comes back and judges the world of righteousness. But even in that scenario, it's not going to get better for everyone, right? So anyway, they talk about the cities with the largest total increase in homicide study of 56 cities. I'm just going to go through these very quickly. The highest total increase for homicides in 2015, Baltimore, Milwaukee, Houston, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Cleveland, Nashville, Kansas City, St. Louis, Philadelphia, right? City with the largest percentage of increase in homicides, right? The 2015 include actually the same city. Anyway, Philadelphia had 499 homicides in 1974, right? That's before all these guns that's in the community, right? They say that was at the height of gang warfare in Philadelphia. All of that was done without flooding the neighborhood with Glock 17s, 30, 40, 100-shot clips, semi and automatic weapons, AR-15s, AK-47 assault weapons, 9mm and 40 caliber handguns. 499 homicides. I think that was the top number that was at the end of the year, 1974, right? In 2021, there were 500 homicides. In December 2022, Philadelphia had 500 homicides for the second year in a row. A tragic milestone, right? So, they say crime is increasing considerably in major cities, says crimeinamerica.net, right? He said it's the African-American communities that are bearing the brunt of the violence. What's going on? In some cities where violence decreased during the pandemic, they still had high rates of previous violent crime. Baltimore, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Chicago, all have witnessed a drop of more than 30% during the lockdowns, right? Violent crimes such as aggravated assaults and robberies also fell substantially, probably guided by the pandemic. Yet, all the cities mentioned had high rates of violence or increased shootings and homicides post lockdown, right? So what, we need another plague or something like that? That what you're trying to say? Is America entering an era of increasing violence? Of course they are. That's what all the information I just said indicates. But why is the question? You know what I mean? Why are we not spreading the love, the wealth, the resources here? Is someone hoarding the resources? Or are people becoming are they creating conglomerates and things like that that really control the resources available to people? Are we being subjected to that? What do you think? Because I'm about to move to our next subject. Next subject is from the Charlotte Observer. Are lesbian activists hijacking the 60s civil rights movement? It said the case of the white baker in Colorado who refused to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple is headed to the Supreme Court. Now, this is old right here. This is the old case. But that's been resolved in it's 2017. This was written, right? Tim Funk wrote it. Are the people now fighting for LGBTQ rights following in the footsteps of the 60s civil rights movement, or are they hijacking it? So are they using the civil rights movement as a blueprint, the LGBTQ community, using the civil rights movement as a blueprint to fight for things that they want, or are they just hijacking the civil rights movement, right? So that is an excellent question. Considering some of the legislation I heard about, this like with that African American history thing, that had a component on it that had issues relating to gender, which I don't know why that's a part of African American studies, gender, because gender is related to all peoples. It's not specifically related to African Americans. So we're going to keep going. We're going to touch on that later on because I don't have a lot of time. Right. Anyway, are they hijacking it? Said the group of conservative African Americans that includes a civil rights pioneer from North Carolina. They say they're offended at the comparison between the black people, between what black people went through then and what LGBTQ people are going through now. And they say they believe that black people have been discriminated against because of their skin color, because of who they are. While gay, lesbian, and transgender people want protection for a lifestyle and sexual behavior they have chosen for themselves, right? So they're saying the LGBTQ community choose to be that way, right? Now, some people from the LGBTQ community say they haven't chose that, right? So we're going to get into that too, right? I mean, there's really not much to get into that, but we're going to coming up again, right? The group, including some clergy members of black organizations such as the Frederick Douglass Foundation, is publicly supporting Jack Phillips. That's the baker. Said, hey, look, I don't bake cakes with gay, homosexual, or transsexual or themes. I don't participate in that because I don't believe that that's I believe that's to be immoral, and to bake a cake is to support that, perpetuate it. Right? That's what Mr. Phillips the baker is saying, right? Say, I don't do that. Right? So, anyway, they have launched a campaign called We Got Your Back for Mr. Phillips. Right? One of the campaign images shows three separate water fountains labeled white, colored, and LGBT. Right? The first two are in stark black and white, recalling the racial segregation that was once the law in southern states. The last is rainbow colored. The headline says, one of these never happened. Can you guess which one never happened? I guess they're saying so. We know the one that never happened was the rainbow colored one, right? So the laws only apply to black and white people. That's interesting too, because why didn't it say Chinese or Indian? It said black and white, because this country wasn't just black and white people back then. Why didn't it say, it didn't relate to Japanese or nothing like that, at least in print. What's up with that? Why the black man getting hit with all this nastiness? Anyway, gay whites were not prohibited from drinking out of the same water or fountain as whites, right? We know that, right? This was a provocative thought, right? Gay whites did not have to sit on the back of the bus. Gay whites were not segregated by law, and they were not enslaved because they were gay or LGBTQ. That is historical and documented and witnessed. So the question is, why is the LGBTQ agenda present in the advocacy of civil rights, of the civil rights battle for black people? In Florida, DeSantis, right, a Republican, rejected legislation for supporting African-American studies because of the LGBTQ component that appeared in the legislation. He used that as a way to fight that legislation. He stated that the legislations were being used to perpetuate a political agenda. He's talking about the LGBTQ agenda, right? NPR says, the move to censor topics like intersectionality, the movement for black lives and reparations is nothing more than an assault on African American history and world news. Effectively, white man explaining topics that are integral to the development of American history, culture, and identity, says Ivory Tollison, Director of Education, Innovation, and Research for the Civil Rights Group, right? The intercultural nature of social categorizations such as race, class, and gender as they apply to a given individual or group of people regarded as creating overlapping and interdependent systems of discrimination or disadvantage. From Wikipedia, they say intersectionality identifies multiple factors of advantage and disadvantage. They include gender, caste, sex, race, ethnicity, class, sexuality, religion, disability, weight, and physical appearance. Those all terms of that. I see another show come up just out of that right there. These intersection and overlapping social identities may both be empowering and oppressing. So that's very interesting. So black people are discriminated against before birth, right? Because it doesn't matter where you are in the process. Is you in vitro or if you've been birthed, you catching a bad break, right? LGBTQ people are discriminated when they come out of the closet. In fact, they can conceal their sexual behaviors and gender identities. But a black man does not have that luxury. He can't say, I'm white. Can't say that. Let's see the type of black man who looks white, right? And he has to look very, very white in order to get away with that, right? So he can't hide who he is. He's walking down the street. You can't tell who's gay, who identifies as male or female, what male identifies as female, if he's not trying to act out that behavior in public. He's just walking down the street. You don't know what he is. We don't know if George Washington liked men or not, because we assume he looks like a man doing traditionally things that men do during his time, and it's not mentioned in history books that he's not gay. We don't really care if he's gay or if he's a prolific guy in the bedroom. That has nothing to do with history. That has everything to do with George Washington's biography, if you want to get that deep into his sex life. We don't really care. History is how a person's life impacted on others, not how he's packing it into somebody else, right? Male or female. We don't care about that, right? So I'm not getting this whole thing about some of this stuff doesn't make why it's such a big deal, you know, because it shouldn't be a part of history, like African-American history, whether or not, any of our leaders, Martin Luther King's sex life. We don't really need to know about his sex life. That's his biography. History is what Martin Luther King stood for and what he did, what he represented in the historic context of the civil rights. That's what he did historically. Everybody has sex, and what they do sexually is not historic. We don't got enough books to write about history. That's your personal history. So we shouldn't be getting people's personal history mixed up with history. But we do. For some reason, we are doing that. We're just mixing the two up together, and makes no sense to me. The LGBTQ community has a struggle in society, but it is not the same struggle as the black man in society, right? Do the LGBTQ appear to be piggy banking or hijacking the black civil rights movement? That's a good question. Piggy banking would indicate that some leaders in the black civil rights movement are supporting and integrating advocacy for civil rights for the LGBTQ in their agenda quest struggle for civil rights. But black leaders are at the forefront of the leadership. Hijacking is indicative of the LGBTQ agenda and leaders controlling the narrative and direction of the black civil rights movement to support their agenda, the LGBTQ agenda. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's hijacking. That's not right. There's a lot of us speaking things into existence. There's a lot of speaking things into existence going on nowadays. People appear to have little respect for facts, truth, and reality, right? Bottom line is, what is happening to the LGBTQ community is not what has and is happening to the black people in America. Marrying a person who is white is not the same as marrying a person of the same sex, right? It seems like a no-brainer. So why do we keep running into this wall? It's a tale of two distinct battles occurring against the same foe or government, right? But it's not the same battle. They talk about this parallel. It's not a parallel between the two, except that as everybody's going through government to get what they want. So, I mean, it's about marriage and they're going through government. That doesn't make that the cause the same, right? One has to do with sex. The other one has to do with living. How you have sex and who you have sex with, it's not the same as, can I live up in this peace? Can I be respected as a citizen? That's not the same thing. If you come out black, that's it. You're going to get what black people get, where they get what they get in the areas they give them, whatever thing they give them. So if they're going to treat you kindly, you got to break. If you run into the mother folks, better be a long-winded and fast. The best that I could say, you know. Ain't good to be able to defend yourself. But I get using the civil rights movement as a footprint to advocate for LGBTQ rights, anyone's rights. I get using that as a blueprint. You must remember that with whatever progress black people have made, it does not shield them from those who feel indifferent towards them, i.e. George Floyd, Sandra Bland, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, Orlando Castell, and many more. They're not shielded. It's not going to stop that. It's not going to make people accept you. Back to the story. Among the conservative group leaders, high points, Clarence Henderson, one of the black students who helped propel the civil rights movement in 1960 by organizing these sit-downs, right? He now heads the North Carolina chapter of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, right? He says, there is no comparison between the struggles of African Americans and LGBTQ persons, right? There is a difference between what a human being is and what a human being does. I lived this, walking down the street, being called all kinds of names because of the color of my skin. How many gays and lesbians were lynched, he said. Former Charlotte Mayor Harvey Gantt himself, a civil rights pioneer, doesn't think much of the conservative group's argument against the LGBTQ claims. Gibberish, he said. Other African-American leaders supporting the gay couple's lawsuit against Phillips agree with him. Discrimination is discrimination no matter who the group of people is facing it, said Gantt, who won national headlines in 1963 when he became the first African-American student to enroll in Clemson after suing to end its whites-only policy. Every time I hear arguments such as this, I recall the arguments when we were pressing for rights in the 60s. We heard the time was not right and we can have separate but equal. Grant also said that Mr. Phillips, claimed that his refusal was based on religious objections to same-sex marriage was reminiscent of what long ago defenders of racial segregation argue that some Bible passages supported a separation of races. Well, I don't know if this guy is from the church or not, but the Bible does not support same-sex marriage. So I don't know why he's even mentioning the Bible and what his situation was about discrimination and things like that. So Bible does not support same-sex marriages. Do your own research, because I'm not getting into that. Tells you not to do that, you know. So, first, there's no race in the Bible, right? They're talking about race in the Bible. There is no race. Race is, as we know, is a term created by Europeans in the 15th century to categorize and justify the enslavement of African or black people, right? So there's no race in the Bible. They can just kick rocks with that. So that's not even true. Stop saying stuff that's not true. Going to finish with this story. The same banker couldn't say, I read somewhere in the Bible that there's nothing wrong with segregation. So I don't want to sell to Harvey Gantt because he's black. You shouldn't be in business if you're not going to serve everybody. I think Harvey Gantt is not seeing things clearly. I don't know. Is he in the church? Because he can't be in the church saying that the Bible, not saying that the scriptures are not against homosexuality, because it does, says it's an abomination. But I don't know. I hope he's not in the church, because it wouldn't make a good church leader if he's using the Bible. So, so the Creator says it's an abomination. So you can't use the Bible to support it. But we have a separation of church and state here in this country, which means that you don't have to be supported by the Bible to advocate for a behavior that you might be involved in. In this case, homosexuality. You don't need the Bible to support it in this country. Now, if you go to Saudi Arabia, you may be killed for that. So the group back in Phillips says ranks include Alveda King, right? That's the niece of Martin Luther King, right? Meanwhile, the ACLU, the Human Rights Campaign, and others supporting the couple who sued Phillips, right? We had a couple from the LGBTQ community taking this guy to court. And I mentioned this on another show. That is a waste of time taking somebody to the Supreme Court because he doesn't want to bake a cake. Today, if I walk into a bakery and a white dude don't want to bake a cake for me because I'm black, right? I'm getting out of there. I don't want a cake from that guy. He can't bake me nothing. I'm not taking him into court. That's a waste of our time. We have more dire issues than me worried about a dude baking me a cake. You can't make white people like you, love you, or want to do stuff for you. You find yourself in those places, go to where somebody will bake you a cake. That's what I do. But these people took this to the courts. Like, that's a waste of our money, our taxpayers' money. You want to get a cake baked, go somewhere where they bake a cake for you. This is a waste of our money. We have serious issues here in this country. Baking a cake is not change. It's not impact on your life. He's not denying you housing. He's not denying you medical care or anything like that. He just say, I'm not baking that kind of a cake. Turns out the guy would have baked him a cake, but he's just not putting the gay theme on it. You can't make him do that. Not even like he hates a person. He's just saying, I don't do gay things. Nothing wrong with that. That's his decision. He don't want to do that. Go to where somebody's willing to do it. Not the Supreme Court. That's ridiculous. Anyway. And I'm a black man, and I'm not even considering taking nobody to court because you didn't bake me a cake because I'm black. That's not a court issue for me. That's a don't go to that store issue. And I'm going to tell other folks who that guy is, right? But I guess he must be telling anybody black, I ain't baking you a cake. So everybody could be finding out not to go to that store. Don't go there. Don't buy from that store. Some problems you can deal with yourself. You're not going to change how people feel about you, and you can't force their hand. And every little thing is not a battle. That's crazy. That's my personal take on that. That's a waste of time or money going to court over somebody baiting a cake with a transitional theme. Come on. If they don't want to bake it, go to somebody else that will. They say he don't do it. In Charlotte, African-American pastors can be found on both sides. African-American pastors on both sides of the case over debate whether or not LGBTQ persons are walking in the footsteps of King, Lewis, and other black civil rights pioneers. What is that all about? Reverend Leon Treat of the Non-Dimensional Christian Faith Assembly of Charlotte said the LGBTQ community is engaged in a fraudulent attempt to hijack a legitimate movement. It is a tremendous insult to people of color or any ethnicity to compare behavior, sexual behavior, to identity, right? Treat, whose elementary school in Union County was segregated until he reached the fourth grade, added, I didn't have a choice about growing up in a segregated society, but with lawsuits and other efforts by the LGBTQ community, he said, society is being forced to embrace a chosen lifestyle, a behavior that some people have chosen. He says, hey, you guys choose to be that way, right? Bishop Tanya Ross, senior pastor of Sacred Scrolls Community Church in Charlotte, said she too is offended, not by fellow LGBTQ persons pursuing equal rights, but by some clergy who would stand against the right for law-abiding citizens to benefit from the services and spaces offered to the entire general public. Ross Rose, whose church is affiliated with the United Church of Christ Domination, said the LGBT community is only doing what other groups, African Americans, women, and those with disabilities have done before them, fighting to be recognized, heard, accepted, and protected by the courts and government. No single group has a lock on freedom and justice. I don't know what that's supposed to mean about no single group has a lock on freedom and justice. Because is it any freedom and justice? Is that real? Talking about the parallel differences here, they talked about there's a long history of discrimination or violence against LGBTQ persons. Talked about a 21-year student who was beaten to death, tortured and beaten to death. He was gay. That later led Congress to enact the hate crime legislation. Look, we already got crimes against laws against murdering people. Now you're going to call it a hate crime. Do you think that people who murder people are murdering people because they love them? I don't know. I always had a problem with the whole thing. They keep making all these laws. We got laws. You murder somebody, you go to jail for murder. We keep making up all these different lines, hate crimes and all that stuff like that. For what? You have laws against being terroristic threats and threatening people and things like that. Stop creating laws on things and more penalties. It's all the same thing. You're being terroristic. So what? He hate the person he killed. That's an extra crime. How he feel? That don't make sense. It's the behavior that you punish, not the feeling. You can't legislate how people feel. You legislate the behavior. Homicide. That's what it's called, right? 1, 2, and 3, right? They stop playing around with people like with all these terms, with all these different types of, oh, this is they got domestic violence. That's homicide. You kill your wife, that's murder. You plan to kill her, that's murder 1. You kill her in a fight, that's murder 2. Oh, you accidentally kill her, murder 3, right? Come on, we already got laws for this stuff. Oh, you know, follow them. You had a good blueprint. Now it's getting very convoluted to me. Anyway, I'm getting off track here because I'm talking about how things just don't make sense. They just keep piling stuff on, calling it something, legislating how people feel. You know, people kill you. They are not in love with you at that time. Trust me. Anyway. I'm running out of time here. So they talk about the parallel between the LGBTQ struggles. 1967, the Supreme Court outlawed state laws forbidding blacks and whites to marry. 1967, now you can legally marry a white girl or a white man, right? In 2015, the High Court ruled it unconstitutional to keep same-sex couples from marrying, right? It's more to that than that, because if you can read it, you can read that. They can't make an imam marry two men or two women. That's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen under the Hebrew Israelites. And I don't know, some people under the Christian umbrella, I don't know how that's going for that, because they have so many denominations and that. But you don't need to be married under any of those religious institutions. You could just go get married. There's people who marry you, have the license to marry you. You could just get married by those people, right? But I'm saying that to say you don't have to try to force people to do what you want them to do. That is a violation of them as a human being, period. Forget the Constitution. It's protected by the Constitution also, because they got to protect the First Amendment, right? But still, I mean, whether it is or not, that's a violating people as a human being, trying to make them do something they don't believe is right. You cannot do that. That is wrong. That is tyranny, right? That's political tyranny, all right? Social political tyranny. Cannot do that, right? So, this whole thing about, they got this thing about, the parallel means similarities, right? So, well, it's nothing similar, like the man said, and I'm in agreement with them, about the scenario behind the LGBTQ community and the scenario behind being black. I'm saying you black in the womb, you black outside of the womb. You black, right? Blackity, black, African-American, colored, how many names we did have? Oh, black, American, colored, Negro. You all of that, you know, depending on what time you was raised in, came up in, but that's who you are. You that person. You descendants of the slaves that they had here. That's you that person. That's who you are. So those people were discriminated against, right? Their sexuality, because I'm sure there were homosexuals amongst them, amongst the civil rights movement. Say one of the brothers was gay. You know what I'm saying? But he was fighting for civil rights, not gay rights. Civil rights, right? All right, so he didn't try to hide. He wasn't hijacking the movement. He was a part of it. And they say he was a major part of it, actually. So I don't get the connecting. I don't get the relationship, because I don't get that relationship at all, because if you look at the black civil rights movement, there were people who did many things. You had people who probably were gay. You had some people there who were probably womanizers. You had some people there who might have been murderers or thieves, you know, all kinds of things. Why are we getting into that? We only talking about how they got together to fight the injustice that was being perpetrated to black folks. That's what we're talking about. Civil rights, how it impacted on history, right? You know, some people argue that a 16-year-old is a woman, right? It's in terms of getting married, right? So they passed a law, effective January 1st, 2019, New York became the sixth state to ban child marriage. That was January 1st, 2019. Now, how many people knew that? Right? So in 2017, New York raised the marriage age to 18, but allowed marriage at 17 in special circumstances with parental and court consent. All right? So many courts allow child marriage. The Pew Research Center says fully 96% of countries have laws that are specifically when people can marry, that have the right to say. Only six countries, Equatorial Guinea, Gambia, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, South Sudan, and Yemen, do do not specify a minimum age for marriage. In many countries, even those that allow minors to wed, minimum age requirements are often ignored, they say. Who you marry is the similar issue in all three examples, but the subject belief and ideology and criteria is quite different. The only parallel is how society and government addressed it. Blacks were allowed to marry white. Same-sex marriage was allowed, right? And 17-year-old minors were allowed to marry by law, right? Under certain criteria, right? Parallels in this case mean nothing unless they are specific to both events. Parallels don't necessarily have to be specific to the event. That means a likeness, right? So the only likeness they have is that the government was against it and the government allowed it, right? So that's all that happens with government. Government is against something, then the government allows it. We're selling weed now, right? You used to sell weed on the street. Now, if you got the dough, you can open up a weed shop, right? All right, so Phillips did not refuse to service the client because he was a trans woman. He refused to support, create, participate, perpetuate an ideology, lifestyle that he believed, perceived, viewed, knew was immoral and unethical. That is his right as a human being, a man, a follower of his faith. That is supported and protected by the U.S. Constitution. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. So what's going on here? So Nielsen said that Phillips' religious beliefs and his First Amendment right of artistic expression also caused him to say no to the other cake requests to promote Halloween, for example. By claiming that their rights trump those of Phillips, Nielsen argued that LGBTQ community is pressing for special rights that are nowhere in the U.S. country, right? Because they're trying to say that, oh, you got to make this cake for me. No, he doesn't, right? You can't trump somebody's constitutional rights because of something you want. There were at least one prominent LGBTQ person atop of the civil rights movement, Bayard Rustin, right? He helped organize the March on Washington, right? But Bayard Rustin was not the only person responsible for the civil rights movement. That is a slap in the face to Thurgood Marshall, Julian Bond, Medgar Evers, Charles Hamilton Houston, James Wilson, Martin Luther King Jr., Oscar Mitchwitz, Harry T. and Harriet Moore, Mary White Ovington, Andy Young, A. Philip Randolph, Whitney Young, John Lewis, James Farmer, Roy Wilkins, and many more. Bernard Rustin was openly gay, but he did not advocate for gay or LGBT rights because that was not the battle he was fighting. You don't get credit for being gay. You get credit for what you do for the moment, for the movement, not how you move under the sheets. His contribution does not make gay rights struggle the same as the black civil rights struggle. Rustin's state of being black in America forced him into the trials and tribulations of being black in America and thus the civil rights movement. Rustin was a civil rights leader who was gay, not a gay civil rights leader. That's what they, gotta understand, the separation of church and state. So that means literally that LGBTQ can petition the state for certain respect rights under the law. They have every right to do that based on the way the government, this government operates, right? But they don't have the right to force another man to believe what they believe. You know what I'm saying? They don't have that right. So what y'all think about that? We got 3 minutes left, and that's all I got to say about it. They may be hijacking it. I don't know. I don't have boots on the ground. I don't know who's in these organizations doing what. But like I said, Bayard Rustin was one of the guys that was in the civil rights movement, making one of the shakers and movers that marched on Washington, right? They said they credit him with a lot of that, making that possible. But you don't see no big theme on that. We got a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. You have about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I just want to say that first about the crime thing, it is crazy how all that's going on, mainly in the big cities, but I'm wondering how the red states are doing, if they had the same issues, because that's something that I remember those guys saying that the blue states, particularly the cities, are going to regret, you know, with the defunding the police and everything like that. They're saying the crime thing was going to escalate and stuff like that. But also about the gay scene, yeah, I think that's kind of like overkill. If a business doesn't want to do gay scene cakes and stuff like that, that's too much. Just like you said, just find another store.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Supreme Court. Are you really? Any court. Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not like they're giving out something here to save everybody's life or to make everybody's life easier or something like that. It's a product, and they're saying they don't do those type of things.
But they want to. The thing is, they want to force them to do it. So that's wrong. Because now you coming into tyranny.
Right.
Now you're saying you're gonna force him, you're gonna lose everything you have, you don't do what I want you to do. I don't care if you believe in it or not. To hell with your beliefs, here's what I believe, and what I believe supersedes what you believe, therefore I get to control your behavior. No. Because if they went by what that guy believes, that guy couldn't get make that transition. You know what I'm saying?
So,
stop that. You know what I mean? You're going overboard. What's happening is they're eventually going to discredit themselves against people of religious faith. You know what I'm saying? And people using logic. They're going to discredit themselves. Mm-hmm. So if you want things, like nobody, we already got laws governing people killing people. So you really don't need anything passed. You know what I'm saying? We already got laws. It don't matter who you are. You're not supposed to murder people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you can't go call it a hate crime, call it whatever you want to call it. You cannot legislate a person's feeling. Talking about hate crimes and all that. Like, what in the world are you talking about? Hate crimes. People hate people all the time. That's why they're killing them. Busting them. You think they're busting somebody they love in the head? No, they don't like this guy. Anyway, it's time for me to go. Look, thank you for calling in. I want to thank all listeners and downloaders. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and the creator. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Until next week, y'all. Peace.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.